Show on 880 The Revolution.
All right, it is a musical Friday here in the studios. Having tons of fun. What a way to end the week. The first full week of the new year, we're finally back in action here on 880 The Revolution after all the holidays. And it was just too much for me. I was like, I can't do a whole week now. I've been spoiled by 2 weeks of short shows. And I thought, I got to break it up on Friday. Let's get some music in here. So it was great having Glenn Phillips and Natalia Zuckerman on the show in the first hour. And now my good friends from up in Yancey County, Ron Powell and Larry Howell, joining me in the studio. Ron, I met you initially around the same time I met Larry, back
That's right.
Around that time that people were cursing the roadways, back around 2008, 2009, when we were all involved in and around the life and times and legend of musician Leslie Riddle, who's a native of Burnsville. Spent a lot of his time over in Kingsport, got involved with the Carter family back in the 20s and 30s, and is buried here in Asheville.
He's buried in
Burnsville. In Burnsville.
Yeah. He died.
He died here in Asheville. Yeah. That's right. Okay. Yeah. I'm glad you guys caught that. I'm going to stop wandering around the cemeteries looking for that damn headstone. Okay. No. But he's a Burnsville native.
That's right.
And once it was fully kind of discovered his contributions and all that, the town has fully embraced him as a native son.
Yeah.
There's the Riddle Fest that's been going on for several years. What number is this coming up?
This will be our eighth one, and it's going to be on July 3rd this year instead of
the wintertime.
And it'll be at the Parkway Playhouse, mm-hmm. and we're doing it in conjunction with the, the reproduction of the play Esley. Which,
the return of the play that I wrote.
You did write that.
That's how I got involved with you guys. That's how I got involved with these shady characters up there in Burnsville. And you know, Larry, you helped me get around and meet some of his family and talk to them and get somewhat of a blessing, I guess, for what we were doing. And then, Ron, you know, you were a heavy part of the music, constructing the music, because you guys, with your band and your wife and everybody, you play this stuff all the time. So you knew it in your sleep.
Yeah.
You probably do play it in your sleep.
Well, you know, Larry is a historian, besides being an excellent educator. And he learned of the story of Leslie Riddle and brought Leslie Riddle's story and music to me in about 96. Is that?
Mm-hmm. 96.
And, you know, I was really taken with it. Mm-hmm. And we started performing some of his songs, you know, in our live act and live shows. And so it's really been a big kick to me to be involved in it. Still, after all these years, we're still involved in it and in the making of the Riddle Fest. Mm-hmm. We'll probably talk about that along.
Yeah.
But, you know, having Mike Seeger come to that was a big thrill. And in the people that Barry O'Connell and the different people that have Bill Clifton, music producer, all these people that have carried this story along, Jeff, you know.
And Mike Seeger, of course, being a big part of finding the story.
Yeah.
It could have been lost to history entirely, this man's legacy. Mike Seeger went and found him in the 60s and did a lot of recordings with him. I still have, there's hours worth of live reel-to-reel recordings on his porch and in his kitchen, him playing and recreating the songs as he remembered them. Leslie Riddle, that is. And it was tremendous. I remember, and I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but when we did the production back in 2009, Mike Seeger, on the opening night, the day that we opened the show, we learned that Mike Seeger he'd been ill for a while, and he'd gone into hospice care. And on the closing night of the show was the day we found out that he passed.
I forgot about
that. And that was just one of those eerie kind of things that tied to that first production that we did.
Yeah, that's right.
But it was something special. It really was. And it's great that Riddle Fest, what a fun thing. I've been to a couple of those in the wintertime. It can be a little rough. You got to fight the weather, and it's uphill both ways to get there from here. So was that part, what was the idea that made you think, let's move it to the summertime and kind of make a big to-do of it there?
Exactly what you said, a snowstorm. 3 years ago, Michael Reno Harrell was our headline act, and we had it scheduled for the third weekend in February, mm-hmm. third Saturday in February, and came a snowstorm, and we didn't make much money.
Right, so makes it tough.
It. Last year it was in June.
Okay.
This year it'll be July 3rd, and having David Holt and Josh Goforth. We'll be featuring them.
And it attracts a lot of people. There are a lot of people who, you know, once the story was out there, once they found out more about it, people embracing this. How do the Carter family and the folks from the Carter family, have they weighed in on the story of Leslie Riddle, or is there any sort of animosity there? You know, it's one of those weird things. It's like it was lost to history for so long.
Yeah. No, Dale Jett, he came to the dedication of the Leslie Riddle recording studio that we have in a county building called the Mountain Heritage Center. He came to that. He didn't perform at the first Riddle Fest the next night, but then the third year he came, he and his wife, Teresa and Oscar, I can't remember Oscar's last name, they headlined the third Riddle Fest.
Mm. And that was Dale Jett.
Dale Jett.
He's AP's grandson?
AP's grandson.
Okay, mm-hmm. Right. Well, it's just such a fascinating story. It really is. The lost history that almost was that was managed to be saved. It was really great being a part of it, and you know, getting to know you guys certainly was a big aspect too.
One of the things, you know, I sent you, Jeff, was the talking about the historical marker.
Yes.
You know, we went to Raleigh. I guess the TVG, the Traditional Voices Group that Larry's a part of, had put an application for an historical marker for Leslie Riddle, mm-hmm. and were denied originally.
Really?
Yeah. And
on what grounds? What did they?
That he wasn't famous enough, and that we did not sufficiently prove that, even though he was born and buried in North Carolina, that he was never here long enough. Although he did move back and forth between Kingsport and Burnsville all of his until he was in his 30s. Mm.
So that was initially their objection to that. So you tried again.
Right. Yeah. And this Chris Beecham of the North Carolina Arts Council, who is a economic developer but also on the cultural arts side, just, you know, worked to really hone down the application and get down.
Right.
The historical marker committee is made up of historians, history professors from all kinds of universities in North Carolina, maybe 10 people on the 7, 8?
I think they were closer to 12.
12 professors, and they're asking some tough questions, and, you know, they really have to know that everything is in order. But, you know, Chris got recordings from the same interviews that you had listened to. And, you know, Leslie's talking about, well, I call Burnsville home.
Right.
You know, I was back and forth between Kingsport and Burnsville all the time, but Burnsville's my home.
Right.
And, you know, he played that recording just boom. You know.
That pretty much settles that part of the argument. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the contribution to the Carter family and, you know, that's one kind of the part that Chris brought up, and then Larry talked about it, and then we played the Cannonball Rag. Mm-hmm. And you might tell a little bit about that.
Mike Seeger was touring with the Johnny Cash Show mm-hmm. back in the early 60s in Southern California, and he was part of the New Lost City Ramblers, and also on the program were the Maybelle Carter and her daughters, Helen, Anita, and June.
Right.
And they did the Cannonball Blues one night. Came off stage, Mike Seeger asked her where she learned that song and all the neat guitar licks that went with it. Mm. And she said, learned it from Leslie Riddle of Kingsport, Tennessee. Well, it took him several months to run down Leslie. He was living in Rochester, New York at the time. But he and the New Lost City Ramblers went there to play a gig and looked Leslie up, and Mike went there several times over the next 15 years, and interviewed him and recorded him. And then, sadly, 15 years after Leslie died, Mike convinced Rounder Records to put out the CD Step by Step. We're going to do that song in just a minute, but we'll start off with the Cannonball Blues.
All right, we'll do that. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about Riddlefest after this.
I hear that train coming on down the track, gonna carry me away, ain't gonna bring me back from Buffalo to Washington. Mean old fireman, cruel old engineer, took my gal away, left me standing here from Buffalo to Washington. I went to that station, I looked up on the board, tell me, Mr. Conductor, how long that train's been gone from Buffalo to Washington. You can wash my jumper, starch my overhauls, catch that train they call the Cannonball from Buffalo to Washington. I hear that train coming on down the line, trying to make up for its lost time from Buffalo to Washington. She even took my shoes. Well, that's enough to give this man them doggone worried blues. She's gone. Thank God she's gone. She's gone. She's solid gone.
This is the Jeff Messer Show on 880 The Revolution.
All right, we're back with Larry Howell and Ron Powell from up Burnsville way in the studio. We're talking about a lot of things today, but we're, you know, ostensibly here to talk about the Riddle Fest that's going to be happening this summer. And, you know, you guys talked about getting the monument or the marker.
The marker.
The marker.
Yeah. Historical marker.
The historical marker out in and around Burnsville to commemorate him. Is that, do you think that's a good likelihood that it'll eventually happen?
Oh, it's done.
It's done. It's done. So
right.
It is going to happen then.
Yeah.
Oh, so fantastic.
We went to the presentation, and in that presentation, you have 10 minutes to present your case.
Right.
And 5 minutes for questions, and then they vote.
Oh, God.
Okay. So, Chris had, some presentation or recordings and kind of, you know, background, gave him background. Of course, they had, I guess, written documentation. And then Larry and I performed these two songs. And I don't think there were any questions. As soon as it was done, they said, okay, do you want to vote? Sure, let's vote. Okay, everybody in favor? Aye. It was just done.
So everybody voted?
Yes.
In favor.
Yeah,
okay,
and before it was 7-2 against. So
it was it the same people, the same board? Or
same people.
Same people,
yeah.
Just...
Yeah.
Same people, different day.
<That's it.
laughs> Yes, I don't know.
But it was very favorable. And
it might have been they were like, they're just going to keep coming back, so let's just give it to them this time. Persistence gets you there sometimes.
Well, we understand that no one has ever had a musical presentation at a historical marker.
So nobody's come in and played for him.
Played music for him. So, you know, right. I don't know that that helped. But the timeline, hopefully the timeline is July 3rd or 4th.
To coincide, yeah.
Yeah, to coincide with the Riddle Fest and also the play opening.
Oh, God. I can't wait to be there for that.
So,
that's going to be awesome.
So it'll be very great. As you come into Burnsville, on the right is Mountain Heritage High School. Mm-hmm. And so just past that, just a little further, probably a quarter mile, maybe half mile further down, up on your right, up on the hill up there, is the cemetery where he's buried.
Okay.
Across from the State Employees Credit Union on your left.
Okay.
There's a hillside right up there. And so it'll be directing, it'll be somewhere along there directing people.
Towards that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. Congratulations on that. I know you guys feel really good about finally accomplishing that.
Well, it's a great recognition, I think, for Leslie and the community, too. Mm. We played the Cannonball, and the other song we played was Leslie's song called Step by Step,
right?
Which is the song pretty much that I've been doing for, you know, since Larry brought it to me in 96. Leslie worked as a school crossing guard in his later years, and that's where he came up with this song, Step by Step.
Right.
I'm going up to Zion, I guess, watching the kids walk across the road. When we first, in the first few Riddle Fests, we had the Griffith Chapel Choir sing, and I got to perform this song with them, and also Mike Seeger. And the first Riddle Fest, I don't believe he had played with us, but the second one, we were backstage, and I was warming up with the Griffith Chapel Choir, which is a terrific group of singers, and the next thing I know, Mike Seeger comes in and picks up his auto harp and starts playing along. And I'm like, oh, goodness.
Did you skip a note?
I started freezing up. I started thinking about it too much, you know, because to do it right, you just can't think about it. But it was overwhelming, because 2 weeks before, he had been playing with Robert Plant and Alison Krauss on their album,
right?
That they, you know, their duet album they did, and Long Journey Home or something. He's right in the background, and here he is, you know. Well, in any event, it was a great honor.
It's the closest you'll ever come to either Alison Krauss or Robert Plant, right?
That's one degree
of separation.
That's right. But you know, Mike Seeger was a good guy and told good stories when he was in town, and very personable and. Talked about being at Woodstock whenever Dylan played.
Wow.
And, you know, a lot of insight into music and really very focused on getting this story of Leslie Riddle out.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell he really cared.
Yes.
That was his mission in life, much different than his brother's. You know, his mission in life was to preserve and to find a way to make sure these stories were told. And, you know, listening to those interviews, listening to the hours and hours of interviews that he did, that thankfully UNC Chapel Hill preserved all that.
Yeah.
I don't know what form they're in. I got them in the form of CDs, and I loaded them all into my computer, and now they're on my little iPod.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid to get to delete them or move them out of there. It's just, I haven't listened to them in a while, but it is mesmerizing to go back and listen. And he played a lot of these songs. I tell people all the time, and this was when we were doing the show, I would listen to him playing some of these songs, and I was transcribing word for word, and then I gave it to the guy that played Leslie Riddle the first time, and I said, I think you should do it exactly the way he's doing it. And the one that really that I mentioned to a lot of people is the song Good Morning, Little Schoolgirl.
Oh, yeah.
Which everybody's like, oh, I know that song. You know, it's you know, from the 50s. You know, there have been a lot of popular versions. And I'm like, yeah, but you've never heard this version.
Yeah.
And it's a callback to that kind of tradition of everybody that played the song. The next guy who was sitting on the porch the night they played it, he's like, I want to play that next week. And then he added his own stuff to it. And then somebody heard that, and then they added their own stuff to it. It's hard to find two versions that are the same.
Yeah.
And nobody in the world had ever heard the Leslie Riddle version. And I'm like, if anything, that's what I wanted to do in that script was we need to preserve the authentic versions that he played for Mike Seeger that everybody will go, I know the song, but I've never heard it quite that way.
Yeah.
And what you've described is probably the way a lot of songs were written.
Yeah, back in the day. Nobody, I mean, a lot of people probably couldn't read or write even, so there was no way to write it down necessarily. And that was the cool part of that story that, you know, A.P. Carter and Leslie Riddle, when they teamed up, they went around and found all of these songs, and A.P. wrote it down, and Leslie was the one that kind of broke it down, if you will, musically, and helped him discover those songs.
And memorize the melody.
And just what a fascinating story. I'm very excited about the show coming back, and that it's going to be tied in directly with Real Fest this year. It's going to be a lot of fun. And now we'll mention it to people when we get closer to time, but if people want to find out more, there's a website, I'm sure, right? Is there
Traditional
Real
Voices
Fest?
Group has a website.
Yeah, okay.
They'll be publicizing that, and I think David Holt is publicizing it on his website also.
Okay.
You know, there's a new documentary out called The Winding Stream. And it also has it's a series of interviews. It has a book along with it. I got it on Kindle. But it's interviews with Johnny Cash and interviews with the Carter family. And there's discussion about Leslie Riddle.
Really?
In that. So
it's great to know that it's finally out there, you know, that it's taken a long time. It took a long time for the truth to be found. And it's taken a longer time. But I think eventually he's going to get his due credit. Too late for him to have seen it, but I think...
And, you know, to Parkway's credit, you know, again, original production and, you know, historical accuracy and taking on a pretty controversial subject, you know, at times.
Well, sure, yeah. It's funny because I don't think we've mentioned it once in the context of the conversation that Leslie Riddle was an African-American male.
That's right.
Living in the South in the 20s and the 30s, traveling with a white man.
Right.
And, you know, there was a reason that it wasn't until 1965, that Maybelle Carter name-dropped him to Mike Seeger.
Right.
Until desegregation came along, I'm betting it wasn't very popular.
Right.
And, you know, as uncomfortable as that was, but it took that for his name to get out there. And you know, just thankfully, Mike Seeger ran with it. You know, he took an opportunity and ran with it and discovered this huge treasure trove out there. But we'll get you guys to play another song here, and then we'll let you get on out of here.
So you can find the traffic. This is the title song to his album, Step by Step, which is fabulous. It's him and the guitar, and Mike plays with him some on it. I think he plays with him on this song, actually.
All right.
Called Step by Step. Step by step, we're going up to Zion. Step by step, thank God I'm on my way. Step by step, we're gonna see King Jesus. Step by step, we're going home someday. If you cannot sing like angels. If you cannot preach like Paul. You can tell the love of Jesus. You can say, you could say he died for all. Step by step, we're going up to Zion. Step by step, thank God I'm on my way. Step by step, we're gonna see King Jesus. Step by step, we're going home someday. Cannot give your thousand. You can always give the widow's mite. For the least you do for Jesus will be precious in his sight.
Step by step, we're going up to Zion. Step by step, thank God I'm on my way. Step by step, we're gonna see King Jesus. Step by step, we're going home someday. One more time, Jeff. Step by step, we're going up to Zion. Step by step, thank God I'm on my way. Step by step, we're gonna see King Jesus. Step by step, we're going home someday.